You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Come on in. We're opening the doors, kicking them open, getting everybody inside. Get in here. Get in here. Get off that hot street. It's hot out there. There's AC in here for the summer. We got ice cold lemonade. Bring your own lemonade. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. We're just so glad you're here. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Pretty good. Noticing that weekends take less meaning when you don't have a real job anymore.
Oh, you have a real job.
I do, but I actually enjoy the job more than the weekend now. It's really weird.
Yeah, right? What was it George Papazov said? Nothing like trading to make you enjoy a Monday.
No kidding. Is it Monday yet?
What do you mean they close the markets?
I'm afraid if I take that futures course, I might be trading all weekend too now.
You're right. The party never stops.
Right.
Party never stops. Yeah, I had a good week too. Just been busy.
Okay, fine. How'd you do, Dan? How are you doing?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Kyle?
Yeah,
I was doing all right.
All right.
Staying busy in my non-trading life.
You got promoted though, didn't you? You starting a new schedule?
Yeah, I start my new schedule next week. I've been training people, and my assumption was if we rehire the guy that's already worked here, training will be easy, and I can watch a lot of Trade Pro videos.
Smart.
No. That was not what ended up happening. So. Oh, well, best laid plans of mice and Dan. Come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, and hedge against the rage machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We are here to smash our way into a complete set of fine china. Still hasn't worked yet, but we're going to continue smashing. We just believe the premise.
Yes.
We're here to share our ever-growing strategies and life lessons that we've learned here on Wall Street. I got to ad-lib, Kyle. I can't just stick to the script.
This is why the episodes keep getting longer.
This is right. It's Dan's got a talking problem.
So
if you are a beginner, we're going to be throwing around some vocabulary that may be new to you. You can always go check out our knowledge center at financialineptitude.com to brush up on that, understand what we're talking about, or you can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have those links in the episode description. We've got more than a few to choose from. From crypto to basic investing to general investing and economics with Dr. Hans, they're all great episodes.
Yeah.
But we think the best place to be is on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day. It's just really awesome place to be. We're talking trades. We're posting charts of what we're watching for the day. I know I info dump a lot of AMC this past couple weeks.
Oh yeah, it's been awesome.
it's been fun. And if you do join that Discord server, make sure to send us a private message with your home address. We'll send you a smash it yourself coffee mug straight from the China Shop.
Or a shot glass. We've got our shot glasses.
Oh shit. We got shot glasses now. What do they say, Kyle?
I got smashed in the China Shop.
Yeah. All right. I hope I can get some of those shot glasses. That sounds really fun.
I mailed them to Tucson because you never gave me your address. I didn't know what to do.
Oh, okay. I'll go down to the central postal station and give them my passport and see what I got. We're just so glad you're all here. We have a lot of fun. It's always better with friends. It's just a great shop when it's full. And we're just pleased as... I tried to do that one. I don't know that phrase.
Pleased as a peach or pleased as punch, one or the other.
Oh, okay. We're just pleased as a peach punch.
It works, I guess.
In the face. Kyle, we got any show news?
Let's see. We got Vince from ChangeBridge. He's going to be coming on this coming week to talk to us about their ETF. So we actually get to talk to an ETF manager. That should be fun. And for our month end, for our month review, we've got George Papazov coming back to the shop to talk with us about what we've learned so far doing Trade Pro Academy.
Oh, wow. Talking to the professor. Shit.
And we had one other one, but I'm trying to find the...
Chris Mamola?
Yes, thank you. Chris Mamola, that will be on the 13th that we record that, so it'll come out on the 14th.
Do we know who Chris Mamola is?
He's basically tries to teach financial independence, so he comes up with ways... he writes about his experiences building wealth, DIY investing, financial planning, et cetera, et cetera. So he's all about trying to get retired early.
Yeah, I believe the title of his website is www.caniretireyet.com.
Yeah, that should be a fun one. Should have talked to him a couple weeks ago.
Before you left your means of income.
No. Yeah. Better late than never.
At least maybe you'll have some good questions for him.
Oh, yes.
All right, folks, strap in. We've got quite an adventurous, rabble-rousing show for you today. Plenty of market-moving news, stocks on the radar, and more options than Russian face-slap competitions.
Those are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and there's a never-ending supply of videos on YouTube. I swear they must have these every day.
We should link that in the episode description.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if you don't know the joy of a Russian face slap competition, yeah, we'll get a link for you. That's you should see at least one before you die. That needs to be on your bucket list. As always, reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter, Facebook, Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's the2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can place a phone call, leave us a message at 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you just had a baby and you're so proud that you need to let everybody fucking know. We don't care. We just love it when you reach out.
You're trying to relate
that to a Disney movie, aren't you?
Yeah,
yeah. No, that's just a personal anecdote from my life.
Oh, yeah. My sister is having a kid, too.
Yeah, as... I celebrate not a Father's Day. Apologies to everyone who enjoys their big families. Not for me. Oh, Kyle, that brings us to some bet results, doesn't it?
Yeah, you want to go first?
Oh, God, I do and I don't. I do and I
actually,
don't.
Wait a minute. I don't know. What was your total loss?
My total loss was $22. $21.97.
Okay, all right, you go first.
Yes, because there are immortal deities and they do fuck with humans, I shorted SPT, but I had a caveat. I said, it has to pull back to $87. It was at 90-something. And Monday, the market opens, and in the first 20 minutes, SPT drops down below 87, and then immediately goes back up. So it stayed up the whole week. This is how I know I have some sort of curse. I don't know what gypsy I wronged, but they were very powerful. It closed the week up, and then immediately after market, closed the week at 90 and change. All I was writing down was dollar totals. I was very dejected. Anyway, right after market closed, it dropped down below 87 to like 86 something.
Of course it did.
Mock me.
Yep.
Just so when I opened up on Ameritrade and looked at my watch list, it reflected a new price. And I was like, what? Motherfucker, SPT. Anyway, I ended up losing $21.97 on the trade. Brought my total from $774.13 down to $752.16.
Oof.
Yeah.
I also tried to short something. I tried to short Norwegian Cruise Line. They opened at $30.46 and closed at $31.03. Never quite got to the point where I was worried about it. I think I said 32. Anything over 32, I just cut bait. But it just never quite broke down below like I was hoping it would. I actually finally broke its trend. But it brought my bet total from 871.70 down to 856 even.
Okay, wow.
So still sitting in first place with the healthy nearly $100 lead. But we know that can evaporate pretty quickly.
Yeah, especially because I'll get to pick first. But how did Random do?
I think they had, Merck, was it? And then we decided they were going to short as well. because why not?
Yes.
Merck opened the week at 76.89 and closed the week at 77.20. So Random lost another roughly $2. It went from 444.20 not down to 442.50.
What was your total again?
856 now even.
Yeah, you're only up 70% for the month.
I know, right? It's awesome. Mm. Too bad my real trading account wasn't.
Yeah, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you go all in with your entire portfolio on your bet picks, Kyle? Why didn't you do that?
Well, most of that came from BlackBerry and AMC, and I'm actually up pretty good from those, so I can't complain.
Oh, all right. I was going to say, there you have it, folks. Stick around. We'll be making new bet picks at the end of the episode. These will be our last bet picks for the month of June, as July is rapidly approaching.
And no pressure, because I really want to give you this.
There's no pressure here for me to make a big move to win 2 months in a row. Kyle hasn't been watching Jersey Shore and cooking up terrible bet consequences all month. No, no, no. So stick around. We'll wrap that up. And speaking of Jersey Shore, Kyle, I believe we've got one more delicious on episode review.
I was going to do the poll results first.
Yeah, sure.
Poll results. We asked last week how long until I have to get a real job.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised. A lot more people had faith in me than I thought. Less than a year got 33% roughly. 1 to 2 years, zero. And then never was about two-thirds, 67%. So yeah.
Ah, real takeaway is that people believe if you can't make it in the first year, you won't make it. But if you make it through the first year, you're fine.
That's kind of what it looks like, huh?
It wasn't my vote, but glad people have faith in you.
Yeah, I should have switched the retweet request the other way around. All right. And then, we got one last review that I'm doing for this Jersey Shore saga. You ready to jump into that then, I guess?
Yeah, I'm all ears.
All right. Well, last time we had Sammy and Ronnie that were looking like they were a thing. Well, they didn't really last all that long, or at least in the beginning of the episode. They were both real sad. One guy was dancing with another girl, and then she gave out her number, and then he saw that and got upset, and then they went back. He went back, and the episode started with them yelling at each other. Then they hugged. Then it looked like they're going to be okay, so I wasn't sure. Polly and Mike, they were about to hook up, but Polly's girl was on her period and decided she had to go home like right now. And this is all while Mike was looking for a condom, so neither of them got laid. And I was actually wondering if maybe the one girl saw the camera. Actually starting to feel bad for Mike, because it just seems like he's always this close and never quite getting there.
Oh, poor Mike.
JWoww tried to get her old boyfriend back, but he said he'd never go back to the house, but she could call whenever. So maybe they're okay. Sammy and Ronnie looked like they were going to be okay. Snooki came out of the woodwork at the club finally. Started showing off her dance moves. Actually kind of impressive little girl. I'm guessing she was a cheerleader because she was doing a lot of back handsprings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Looks kind of like a fun person to be around, actually. Oh, finally saw the fist pump action. I was really excited for that.
Oh, yeah.
At the club this time, JWoww started flirting with Polly again. Mike and Polly picked up two girls, but as they're walking the two girls back to their place, they saw another two girls in a convertible on the way home, which they immediately went up and started talking to the two girls in the car. The original two left, and the car girls came back to the house. The original two club girls showed back up at the house somehow. What I write here? Oh, that's what I call a sticky situation. They kicked the car girls out and then went back with the club girls to try to get into the hot tub. But yeah, nothing really happened there. I don't think they got close again.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Snooki
behaves like that.
While this was going on, Snooki got lost trying to bring home a dude that she met at the club. They couldn't find their way home, so they just kind of slept on the beach. JWoww's boyfriend heard about her dancing with Polly and was not happy. I thought it was about to end so she could bang Polly already, but they still seem to be together, so I really don't know what's going on with them. Snooki's mom came to the shore. She's very white, i.e. not Italian. And then the big ending. This is what they've been like teasing, which is kind of bullshit to tease this anyway, but some frat douchebag punched Snookers in the face after stealing the gang's drinks. Like
punched
literally
in
like
the face?
Snookers. Snooki.
Really?
Yeah, like just wailed back and knocked her in the nose. Knocked her off the fucking bar stool. Cops were there and immediately took that jackass to jail. They've been teasing that, and like you just kind of keep seeing like the image of her falling off and holding her nose, and I was really glad it wasn't one of the housemates. I also think it's kind of shitty to tease that as like here's what you're going to see next.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really exciting episode.
Reality TV.
It looks like this guy is going to be showing up later, though, because I think the gang looked like they were confronting him at different points. But yeah.
Got to have a villain in the show.
All right.
Wow.
That wraps up this experiment.
You sound like you're really invested
in these people's social lives. No. This is awful. This is awful.
Well, I'm just hoping that a month is long enough to form a habit.
Well, we've been talking about this in the Discord, and because this is a 5-week month, but also because it's kind of bullshit to have to do 5 episodes of this by myself, we're going to try and do the live stream for this on Friday. Should we nail down a time while we're talking right now?
This Friday. Yeah, whatever time works for you, man. I'll be off work at 4 p.m. your time.
4 p.m. my time. So let's do... Should we do 6 so people can go out after, or should we do 7 and make it more typical sit-down time?
I'm going to be drinking.
All right.
I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'll probably be drinking,
so
too.
So I will be where I will be for the rest of the night.
Well, let's plan on 7 my time. That way, East Coast is at 8, and then your end is 5, so that way most people should be getting off of work around there. We'll start the live stream around there.
All right. 5 p.m. Friday.
So 7 p.m. Central. I think that's the 2nd, isn't it?
All right, there you have it, July 2nd. We're going to we'll have that link up on the Discord for everybody who wants to join in the fun. Kyle's going to live stream him watching the last episode, and we can all chat and make fun of him. Or Jersey Shore. You don't have to. It's not a prerequisite to make fun of Kyle.
Or you could be in it. You could be into it.
Yeah.
Either one would be funny.
Well, I'm excited.
All right, it's 23 minutes into this recording, and we're just now getting to the show news.
You know, it's that Jersey Shore shit. We gotta cut that segment. I don't want to do it anymore, Kyle. It's taken up too much time.
Yeah,
no more Jersey Shore segments, okay?
All right, that sounds fine.
All right. Glad we're in agreement. All right, well, so that's going to... We're going to talk about some news?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's time for China Shop News.
Where we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
All right, Kyle, what's your favorite story? What are you itching to talk about here in the shop?
Should I lead off with my favorite or the one that probably has the more far-reaching consequences?
Oh, I like the sandwich, so if you start off with your favorite, I can end with my favorite, and then we'll put the serious shit in the middle.
Okay, well, the one thing I'm excited to talk about is Virgin Galactic. They finally got that FAA approval to take paying customers into space. And goddamn, that stock tried to go to space.
Yes.
I think it's currently trading at, like, it finished after hours at, like, $58 a share. It's fucking incredible. I've never seen a stock move $30 in one day like that.
And that's not even AMC.
I know. Well, then there's a pretty healthy short interest on Virgin Galactic, so I'm thinking that probably had something to do with it. Question is it going to keep that momentum going forward? But this was huge as far as getting that approval for Richard Branson to be able to try to beat Bezos into space. So I'm actually hoping that this week we see another announcement from them that that Richard Branson's going to be going over the 4th of July weekend, because I think that's what the rumors were targeting.
Oh, if he got up that quick, wow. Yeah, that would be something. He would win the race.
Yes, the race to space. And nobody's trying to keep him from coming back. I was actually wondering how many of the people who signed that petition to deny Bezos re-entry to Earth are actually Amazon workers, because it's up to like 120,000 signatures right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he can go up, but all his water bottles have to be taken from the warehouse. All right, Dan. What do you got?
Well, I figure since that was a kind of a good news, I'll follow it up with what everybody's favorite party pooping news. We've had another key inflation. Yeah, key inflation indicator posting its biggest year-over-year gain in nearly 3 decades.
Ooh, the gains.
Core personal. Yeah. Oh. Yes. Yes. We're really kicking ass.
Everything's gaining.
Everything's gaining. Even the inflation rates are higher than they've ever been. Welcome to the party. Yeah. Right. The the core personal consumption expenditures price index, an important inflation gauge for policymakers. Yeah, it's risen 3.4% from 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the biggest year-over-year increase since 1992, which I remember 1992. And I don't know about you, Kyle. I had no money in 92. I was completely zero net worth. So those weren't good times.
I actually had some money, but I was also, 92? I was 10. I think I started saving at 8. Yeah.
Yeah, 10. I had no money. I spent it all on Nintendo games. That's just a bad.
Yeah, Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, I had Tecmo Bowl.
Let's put a link to that.
Anyway, so back to inflation. Consumer spending's flat for the month, missing expectations. Apparently, analysts aren't concerned with this this inflation indicator rising because they predicted it would actually rise a little more than it did. So they're like, yay, it's within prediction.
Okay. Well, then, if it's within prediction, it should be priced into the market then.
Yeah, that's I think that's why they were they were happy about it. And they still saying the numbers are influenced by what economists are now calling the base effects or the skewed comparisons to a year ago because of all the pandemic restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently part of what we're seeing isn't just regular good old-fashioned inflation. This is inflation light. It's a different flavor.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, so the party keeps going, folks. Party's never going to stop. by the way, the last time we had an inflation increase this size, 92 was the one that's comparable in terms of how big it was. But mm-hmm. the last time we saw it jump up this fast was August 2008. Nothing happened in 2008. So
that's when I bought my house. My first house, I bought that about 2 months before that.
Oh, that's timing, buddy. It was
perfect timing. It was amazing.
And so that's all I have to say about inflation. It's party on, Kyle.
I'm just waiting for you to kick it back to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying that's all I have to say about inflation. Right. So party on, Kyle.
All right. Oh, party on. I got you. All right. This one, I missed this initially. I was actually on the road to Chicago taking my grandma back to the airport. But it looks like the infrastructure deal has been reached.
Woohoo!
It was roughly $600 billion. $312 billion of that set aside for transportation, including roads and bridges. There was a bunch of stuff that Biden had wanted in there, and I'm not sure why this goes into a infrastructure deal, but he wanted more spending on like childcare initiatives and other stuff like that. But looks like that'll have to be pursued in a separate package. So they'll probably end up having to do budget reconciliation to try to get some of these other things that he wanted. But I do believe there was stuff in there about, one of the emphases is on expanding broadband, adding... should help cell tower companies. Another potential beneficiary is utilities using renewables. I know that that's been a big push to try to get away from fossil fuels. So it looks like the plan as laid out should benefit those as well.
Yeah, it definitely market liked it.
Mm. Did it?
Yeah, seeing fucking the S&P.
I wasn't watching that day.
I haven't been watching super close. All I know is I bought some puts on the S&P. I had to sell for a loss on Monday, or Tuesday, whenever I exited those. Yeah, so I know that it was going back up into all-time highs.
Yeah, how many times do we say don't short the market?
Don't short the market, kids.
What other stories you got, Dan?
I've got a few more. The one that caught my eye that made me smile, Panasonic, the electronics company, back in 2010, they made a $30 million investment into Tesla.
Oh, nice.
As part of their partnership. You know, they were going to provide batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just sold their Tesla shares for $3.6 billion.
Oh, nicely done. Well done, Panasonic.
Yeah, it comes as Tesla's starting to branch out and get batteries from other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Panasonic, you know, says, look, our relationship with Tesla isn't over. They're still planning on providing a ton of batteries to Tesla, but they're taking this money.
Just good risk management. You suddenly have a $3.6 billion sitting in your account that was originally $30 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that a 100-fold increase?
Oh, more.
Yeah.
It's great for Panasonic. They're going to take the money. They're going to use it. They said that they plan to make a large investment in production for the Tesla's new 4680 lithium-ion battery cells, if their prototype production line works out. They also look like they're set to make some acquisitions of some other companies. So Panasonic really played their partnership with Tesla to the hilt. Like, you couldn't
do it any better than that. Yeah. I wonder if their stock moves in tandem. I wonder if having that much money tied up into the Tesla, when Tesla goes up, you'd think that would drive Panasonic's stock price up too. I wonder if they were kind of correlated.
I doubt it, because I'm looking at the 5-year chart. 5 years ago, their stock was at $8.54 a share. Today, their stock's at $11.84 a share.
Okay, so it hasn't really moved.
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
Another one of those great, great discounts last March 2020. If I'd been a trade pro, I would have been like, well, kid in a candy store, I'm buying everything at discount prices.
I know, right? I got one other story.
Let's hear it.
This one will be quick here, but Warren Buffett has announced that he's halfway to giving away his fortune. He's trying to give away all his, basically, Berkshire Hathaway shares to philanthropy and charity. The interesting thing, though, is he's halfway from when he announced it. He's given away $40-some million worth, or about $41 billion worth already.
Oh, wow.
But he's actually worth more now than when he started giving it away. Like, significantly more. Like, his fortune now is over $100 billion. So, yeah, that's pretty impressive. You can give away half of your holdings, your primary holdings, and still have more money than when you started. It's like the Brewster's Millions. Like,
exactly.
I'm right back
exactly.
Where I started.
I wish that was my problem.
I know, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe it could be. Start giving away your money slowly and see if it just goes up.
There you go. I'll give it a shot. All right. So I've got, I think I'll just end on the fun one.
Okay.
I think everybody knows that Nike made a bunch of money.
Oh, God, yeah.
So their share price shot up. And
not too good for my puts.
No. Nor mine. Yeah, so we won't talk about Nike. We'll talk about the Subway tuna sandwich, the Subway chain of eateries.
Oh, I saw that.
So the New York Times did a thing where they bought Subway tuna fish sandwiches from 3 different restaurants and then sent it to get the DNA tested.
Yeah.
And made a big story when they couldn't confirm any tuna DNA in the sandwiches. Not any.
Yeah.
Well, if you do a little digging, you find out, yes, when you heavily process any meat and then cook it.
Oh, you lose the DNA?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, apparently, there were several DNA testing companies that turned down the New York Times because they said, there's no point in testing it. We're not going to find anything. That's what happens when you heavily process and cook meat.
Okay.
It changes the proteins. That's what cooking does.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like some piss poor reporting on the New York Times' portion then.
It sounds like a hit piece on Subway, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yep.
Yeah, so go ahead and try it at home, folks. Take a can of tuna, send it in for testing, and then take a can of processed cooked tuna and send it in for testing, see what happens.
Or if you're a dad who's worried about a child that you didn't know you had, just put yourself in the oven first before you send that sample in, and you should be fine.
You got to cook the batter, Kyle. Yep. You got to cook the batter. Yeah.
Better than paying child support.
Oh, that's awful. All right, let's...
Yeah, cut that, please.
No. I would never cut that shit. We'd like to take a few moments to get real serious. We are Trade Pro affiliates. There is a link.
We get money back.
You can follow it. Help support the show.
Yep.
Join that course. Learn that stuff. It's all solid, real deal. We're proud to be Trade Pro affiliates. Kyle and I are taking the courses ourselves.
Oh, yeah. And if you just listen to the Trade Pro people that we've had on the show, if you really want to see what it can do for you, Vico, Sarah, yep. George, Matt. Yeah.
Yep.
Those are the guys you want to be like.
We got a trilogy and now we're doing a reboot.
Yeah.
Do you think Sue's going to be mad if we talk about Trade Pro first?
Maybe.
Okay. So I'll switch them around in editing.
Yeah.
Longtime listeners know that we here in the China Shop are brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got so much experience, over 20 years of experience, just helping person after person after person, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, even reverse mortgages. She just really finds her self-satisfaction in helping you get what you need. She will help. She's licensed in 26 states and growing. Reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904. Or you can type out an email. Shoot that to spullen, S-P-U-L-L-E-N, at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number of 206048. That email again is spullen at fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs.
Ooh.
Yeah, all right.
Investing?
Let's play that music.
Play that music.
Now it's basic investing with the bulls in the shop. Rising up to the challenge to go viral. And you must be a buyer. Never sell those shares off. Cause we're holding them all with an eye to retire.
Yeah, talking about our long-term investing. Okay.
All right, Dan, did you sell anything?
I did not sell any of my long-term retirement positions, no.
Okay, me neither.
You didn't either? Okay.
No.
All right. Great segment.
Okay, I do have something we can talk about. Hang on. I did make a couple of moves with my monthly plan here. I'd sold some $7.16, $13 puts on Sabre, trying to pick up some of those shares.
Okay.
I sold Nordstrom $8.20, $40 call. And the shares of OCGN that were put to me last Saturday, I sold 750 calls at a buck for those shares that I just picked up. I'm really liking the way OCGN is. That one, it moves a lot, so the premiums are really juicy, but it doesn't really stray too far from that 750 median range. So you just keep selling calls and selling puts right around that range, and it's been working out quite well.
Yeah, I love those tasty premiums playing that wheel.
Yeah. So, and I've also, I've been able to start moving into August, getting a jump on that because met my quota for July. So I figure I might as well start collecting a little bit extra juicier premiums.
There you go. Kyle, the professional trader.
Right.
Using it to expand his investment positions.
Investing is starting to get pretty slim these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we do have earnings calls we can talk about.
Ooh, earnings call delight.
Motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call delight. Earnings call delight.
Ooh. Nothing Monday.
Nothing Monday.
Tuesday.
Yes. What about Wednesday?
Wednesday, we've got MU. I think that's Micron, one of your favorite semiconductors.
Oh, I love Micron.
And I think Vico is talking about wanting to do a swing on this one. So that's definitely on my radar. Bed Bath & Beyond. Let's see. STZ. I think that's like the Stars Entertainment Group. And then GIS, General Mills. I keep doing this now where I write down what one of the tickers means because I know I'm not going to remember it, but then I don't remember another one. Thursday, we've got WBA, Wall Street Boots Alliance. Did I say Wall Street? Not Wall Street. Walgreens. Walgreens Boots Alliance and McCormick's, MKC. And then nothing notable on Friday. Though we should start picking up again here soon in the next couple weeks.
All right.
The big one I'm watching is Micron. That's the one I'm watching.
I would also keep an eye on Bed Bath & Beyond, BBBY.
Yeah.
They like that stock likes to move as well.
It was moving last week because they announced another brand or another one of their, a new line, or I don't know how you say that. A new product that they developed, basically. So it looked like it was getting a bit of a jump on that. The earnings haven't been as good. I guess really what you're wanting to see is, are they continuing to transition towards that online segment? Because I think they're kind of trying to do the same thing that like GameStop's looking to do.
Yeah, I know with the pandemic, they started doing, they were doing the greatest job of, you can buy it online, just show up and they'll put it in your car.
Yep.
So moving forward with that model, there's a lot of potential there.
Well, especially if that's still growing, and if they're starting to get more foot traffic in their stores as things are starting to reopen, yeah, it could be really a really good quarter for them.
Yeah, and ever since that big spike, I mean, the big spike at the beginning of June, up to $44 a share.
Yeah.
Wow. From 20-something. it's been drifting down ahead of the earnings. The statistics say if it's going down leading up to earnings, it's got a much higher potential to shoot up after the earning.
Yeah, because a lot of people dump their holdings, so they're not taking that risk, and then buy back into it after.
And then they want to jump back in.
Mm-hmm. Because once you sell, what do you know?
A buyer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually eyeing that Bed Bath & Beyond.
I am too.
Pretty big. That's on the 30th, I think you said, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
So we'll see what I decide to do, whether it's shares or probably some options. I don't know. Well, I'll be posting about it on the Discord. Maybe I'll throw up some of these charts.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Earnings and
trading.
Trading. Dun, 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 dun. Let's get rich overnight, folks.
You say you own a ticker that wins. The bell just rung. It's time to get in. Ups drive us wild. Drops drive us crazy.
I did a few moves, you know, some meager moves. I didn't go too crazy this week. It's much harder for me to pull the trigger on any trade. The more I learn from TradePro, the more.
Oh yeah.
And this is a good thing. The more before I hit make that order, you know, I keep stopping and I'm like, wait, check this, check this, check that, check
this. Yeah.
That's a good thing. So last week. You remember I had in aftermarket, I bought CVM at $22.50 a share.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then I was like, okay, I need to do more paper trades, so I'm gonna sell down to just a single share and then for a scratch on Monday, and we'll see how it did. Well, of course, CVM I'm up 12%. It's at like $25.30 a share.
Yeah.
To end the week.
Did you sell them then?
I sold them on Monday.
Okay.
At cost. So, you know, no loss, no gain. But I kept the one share in my account to track the trade, you know, because I'm supposed to be
paying attention to it. Right, right.
Tracking all that and paying attention to, you know, my profit and loss percentage. Well, my trade win percentage. Like, I want to have 65 to 70% successful trades. And so this one is already proven to be quite a win. But there's no big volume confirmation, so no. I did move my stop loss up.
Well, Friday there was quite a bit of volume comparable to, because you had to look at it and how it's, you know, the previous volume, right?
That's, yeah.
And I think what's going on, and I posited this on the Discord, but I think what's happening is come Thursday and Friday, you're starting to see a lot more buying pressure. Because of that phase 3 data we've been waiting for. If it comes out over the weekend, which is probably the most likely time, people don't want to be scrambling to get positions, right?
Right.
And then after Monday open, if you look at Monday, Tuesday, this has been going for the last couple weeks at least, there's the sell-off. All those people that are buying those shares over the weekend are dumping their positions on Monday, Tuesday, and then coming back in on Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at trying to make a move on that this coming week. I think that's one of the things I'm going to try and see if I can see if it holds that. If there's that sell off Monday, if there is, I'm going to try and add to that position and get out of it on Friday.
Yeah, it's just like a quick turnaround trade.
Yeah.
The Dr. Pepper shares, I bought $34.50. It's still just hovering. I mean, it's like $34.86. It doesn't want to move. It's had that big drop down and it's just consolidating since then. So the big question in my mind is,
oh, that's a good time to be buying it.
Well, is the consolidation going to be for another drop or another bump? Because it's been on the long term weekly. It's still on the trend line though.
Yeah.
And because it keeps above that trend line, I'm betting I'm bullish. So I have some KDP. I have some Dr. Pepper calls expiring July 16th. well within my risk management. I got them at 20. They're currently at 12 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, this week, it's when it went down and it was, they were trading at 10 cents, I wanted to double down so bad.
Right.
The gambler in me was like, yeah, oh, they're half price now. Put the same initial investment in, Dan, and boom. When this thing goes, you'll be rich, I say, rich. But I am doing a really good job of, once I set up those risk management parameters, of staying in and not going outside, and not going outside of them. So I can't, but oh God, I wanted to slap that buy button.
Right.
So bad. Because you know, I'm convinced, you know, CVM, Dr. Pepper, they're both on bull trends at the moment.
Yep.
I'm convinced they're going to stay that way. I'm eyeing through my homework. I'm eyeing Disney. I'm watching to see if the bear trend is going to break. It had a couple good days towards the end of the week.
I think Disney was on the TradePro newsletter, is going to be on their newsletter. I know Vico is opening up a position on that, targeting 190, 195.
Yeah, I've been watching it. But last week, I put it on my homework. Like, I did not realize that Vico was doing anything with it. But it's one of those companies I want to have long term.
Yeah.
Like, I think Disney is going to be strong in the, going into the future. I love what they put out. I love their entertainment. I have a personal connection to the company. To wrap it up, I did make a couple other moves. I made just a fundamental play. I bought puts on Ride,
mm-hmm.
RIDE, Lordstown's Motors. Sorry, Rheosaurus. Yeah, I hope my puts help drive that price up to her sell target. And then I followed, I saw the BAM investing stuff mention SOXS as a speculative move, and I went ahead and followed that one. I bought in, I just bought shares. It was after hours, so I couldn't make an options play on it, but I actually think shares are a safer play in a lot of these.
Yeah.
If you're going for risk management.
Not only that, you can also get rid of them in after hours too, which is another key bonus.
Yeah. So I bought some shares in a triple leverage bear semiconductor fund. So it tracks the semiconductor segment inversely. So if semiconductors go down, this will go up. So,
If anybody wants access to that BAM model too, we'll throw a link in there. But if you go to the help desk on his website, you can fill out a ticket. And if you do that and claim the military, I think there's an option to check for military. If you do that, then you get free access for like a year to like everything. Well worth it for the price of zero.
Yeah, I followed a coupon code, and I think I paid a couple hundred bucks for a year.
Yeah,
but I figured it was an indulgence at the time. Like, I'll throw this money in there, and we'll see how he tracks.
It's been pretty decent,
you know. And if it, you know, come a year, if I've had value from it, like, I'll pay the full price.
Yeah.
Anyway, that concludes everything I did this week.
All right. Well, I had an interesting week. I closed out that stupid Nike put swing trade that I was on. I got wrecked on it, but luckily I didn't put a whole lot into it. My Norwegian Cruise Line 820 $30 mm-hmm. puts that I had purchased, the stock did not continue that downward momentum I was looking at, so I'll probably have to close that so that way I can keep that capital and put it into a better target. I was looking at the forward chart when I was doing my homework with TradePro, and I was really liking the way it was in the middle of a bearish flag. It's broken up out of that bearish flag, or sorry, it was in the middle of a bullish flag pattern, and it just broke above that flag. So I went and bought some 820 $15 calls at $1.25. TradePro Flow also sent out an alert on...
Oh, I love those guys.
What was that? 8:20 or on the 23rd? I think it was on the 23rd. Let's see. Almost 5,016 strike calls with 7.16 expiry, bought at the ask at 118 when Ford was trading at $15.46 a share for 41 cents per contract. I went back and looked. She keeps track of, because this is Sarah's Twitter account that she manages. I went back and she keeps track of like how each of her alerts do, and they've all done really well. She's had some really good success, so I felt like that was confirming what I was seeing in my homework, so I went ahead and made that trade too. I took some profits on a Palantir swing trade that I had done. I think I bought $25 calls, 7.16 expiration. Sold a third of them at $2.15. I bought them for under $1.50. I didn't even remember making this trade. I was looking through my notes when I was writing in my journal, like how I did for the day on like Thursday. I was like, what the fuck did I buy these? I mean, that's not good.
Right, right.
Forgetting about trades you're making.
Are you trading drunk again, Kyle? That's not good.
No, I haven't had a beer in like weeks.
Oh, well then get some beer in your system and you'll remember these trades.
I think that's the problem, I know. So that's what I did as far as like swing trading did. Day trading was not that great. I was trying to join into the options trading room with Vico and Sarah, and I have way too many trades to try to list all of them. But after getting kind of wrecked on Friday trying to trade space, I think I lost about $500 that day. I think I'm done trying to be a day trader right now. And it finally clicked in my head as I'm doing these lessons, and I'm thinking like, oh, this is all great stuff. These patterns I'm learning, I can see them happening in real time. But George has mentioned it multiple times throughout the course, and it finally sunk in. Like, this is long-term trend pattern analysis. This is not the tools you need to day trade. Yeah, so I need to quit doing that because I'm definitely not prepared to be doing it. And it is totally gambling. I've gotten into that same trap that you were in not too long ago.
Yeah. No, we're having very similar progress going through these courses. Like, oh, shit.
Good news is for the month, I'm still up about $1,500 just on the trades that I made. So I have been doing a better job risk managing. But at the same time, like, let's put the effort into something that I'm actually learning rather than just trying to jump ahead and, you know, buy shit that I don't understand.
I couldn't agree more. The same thing happened to me. It's now, like, almost like when I'm doing the Rich Friesen set score. Like, wait, am I being a gambler? Am I gambling on this trade? Or am I making a trade pro trade?
Right.
Oh, shit, I'm being a gambler.
Well, what really hurt with that space trade was the one that hurt the most was that, like, if I just held it for the rest of the day, you know, it would have been up huge. But because I am trying to get better at cutting out when I'm, you know, down, I end up having to take the loss, and then to see it turn around really fuck with your head. Mm-hmm. And then you're in this mindset of trying to get it back. I gotta get it back.
And you're chasing it.
Like, no, that is gambling.
Yeah.
That's not the road I want to go down. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna take a step back from that.
I'm at the point now, Kyle. This really, really happened. It's fucking genuine. This is the first week I got a paycheck, and I did not buy. I do $8 a paycheck in lotto tickets to do the Arizona pick, and I've done that for maybe 12 years.
Right.
And I didn't buy lottery tickets this week.
Huh, didn't feel the need to, or
instead, I put that $8 in my Ameritrade account.
Better return.
And I said to myself, Dan, if you're going to spend $8 in lottery tickets, just buy another 100 shares of Antibes.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll retain value. Like, it's at around $3 a share. Like, you can always have your stop loss at $2, and then you retain some value.
Yep.
And I think I got great, much, 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 much greater odds of Antibes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Getting on the NASDAQ and getting a buyout, and that share price going way up. So that, yeah, the whole risk management and fighting the gambler and Dan, like, I feel like I really did turn a corner. I could not bring myself to buy tickets, Kyle. I couldn't.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like, no, I know it's only $8, but that's going right in the account.
I can't remember the last time I bet on a hockey game.
Oh, yeah.
Or even laid any bets. Yeah, I have not laid a single bet since we started doing this.
Ah, used to bet on the fights all the time.
I know, right?
I don't even like boxing. I just like betting.
I love the fights. That wraps up my trading week.
I guess I forgot to mention that I did sell shares of AMC at $58.50.
No, that was a good price.
And then I bought a call that expired in the money and got those shares back, though.
Oh, fuck. Nice done. Nicely done.
That was a win.
Yeah, I would say so.
And then I'll be looking, honestly, to either sell a call Monday on the rip, because we get that Monday morning rip, or move back out of those shares. The more I go through the trade pro, the less I can
justify holding that much. Yeah.
Holding AMC like I've been.
What I'm liking so much about AMC right now is the premiums I'm getting on it. And I sold one $79 call for next week. I've just been selling weeklies on like most of that position. I only got $1 for that one. But yeah, I'm hoping to see that Monday bump to try to sell some more.
Yeah.
And BAM model's predicting a lot of strength come Monday too.
We always get that paycheck bump on Mondays.
Right.
Yeah. And as always, I do the timing better when it's Jen's account.
Right.
she when it was up at 60, she sold a $45 call.
Yeah.
And then when it got down to 52, she bought it back. And then when it went up to 56, she sold a $70 call that expired Friday.
Nice.
Well out of the money. So it's like, why is the timing perfect on your fucking account and so janky on mine? I don't get it, Kyle.
Why don't you just move all your money into her account?
Right? Well, I think it's the gen filter, right? Like,
yeah.
She has to be the one pulling the trigger. So, like, I don't know. Like, that seems to work better. So, yeah, maybe that'll be the setup going forward is I'll constantly pitch her trades, and when she finally says yes, like, that'll be the one. AMC, I'm not convinced we're seeing... I'm not convinced the naked shorts exist. Like, the footprint shows up. Like, we talked to Sarah Glass, like, the order flow. Like, you can look at it. The footprint's there.
I would agree with you that I'm not sure I agree with the amount of naked shorts, but the thing that makes this still a viable play, though, is the fact that what we're learning is, like, when the stock peaks, the euphoria is when the institutions are selling to retail, right? And then when it drops, that's when retail is getting scared and flushing out. Retail's not getting scared and flushing out of this stock still. And as long as retail continues to hold, it's going to continue to go up.
It's true. It's
so
true.
It's really, you're just playing a game of chicken with 4.2 million other shareholders at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the buy and hold philosophy, it will drive any stock up. Like, if that idea holds, if enough people, it's taken root and they believe it and they just keep doing it going forward, eventually they'll own the float outright. Like, that's just inevitable.
And I don't doubt that AMC shareholders do own it, or really close to owning 100% of the float at this point.
Well, I don't know. I know. I think it's going to take them a couple more months.
I mean, they were back in March, there were 3.2 million shareholders that owned 80%. There's 4.2 million shareholders as of the June count. Yeah, I think they own the float, as long as they're still holding.
Well, they're definitely not all holding. Otherwise, the share price wouldn't be able to move. It's got to take a buyer and a seller.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced we're going to see the mother of all squeezes.
No, and I think we've been saying this since we've been talking about it, though. This is more going to follow the Tesla model. You get a fanatical group of fans that hold the stock and refuse to do anything with it, refuse to sell it.
Yeah.
And that just continuously drives the price up over a long period of time.
All I know is these options premiums are too tasty for me to...
Oh, fucking beautiful. Yeah, and I'll keep selling them as long as I can.
To ever be... Yeah, right? Like, I'll always have enough to at least play that game a little bit, so...
As long as I can keep getting, you know, multiple, you know, $300 for a $115 call that expires in a week, I'm going to love this stock.
Well, and we have the luxury of having gotten in around 10 to 15, right?
Oh, yeah. I've made enough money on my premium to pay for all my shares, I think, at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I've never been in a position with volatility so high, and I got in before it was that high.
Right.
Where, like, selling a covered call, the premium alone paid for the shares plus several hundred dollars. It's like, what the fuck? This is bonkers.
Well, make sure you get 100 shares of CVM, because you're going to like that one when it rips.
I had 100 shares at $22.50.
If you would have held on to those space shares, you would have been even sitting even prettier.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. The idea is to be able to do it right going forward and not blame myself for not having the knowledge I have now.
Don't blame past you. Past you can't do anything about that.
Yeah, past me was trying to get rich off marijuana in 2021.
Yeah.
Not happening so much. We have options alerts.
Mm. I can grab some of the ones from TradeProFlow, at least some of the more recent ones, because I think too much time goes past and they lose their value. Last one she had posted was for Twitter, getting a lot of bullish flow. August 20 expiration, $70 strike, bought at the ask when Twitter was trading at $66.12 for $3.55 a contract. It's almost $500,000 in premium.
Mm-hmm.
I already mentioned the Ford. BIG was another one. Over 3,000 calls, $70 strike, 716 expiration at the ask. When it was trading at 68.40, that was $2.59 a contract. Almost $750,000 total. And then Snow was another one. I've heard them trade pro guys talking a lot about Snow. September 17th expiration, 260 strike, bought at the ask. when it was trading at $245.84 for $17.60 a contract, almost $2 million in premium.
Stowe, okay.
Yes, that was the one that IPO'd last year, so it looks like maybe it's starting to regain that momentum it started out so strong with.
Yeah, I'd have to pull up its chart, but you know, if those guys are looking at it, that there's something going on.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, they were also looking at Nike puts. Yeah, that didn't work out quite so well.
Oh my God, yeah, if you had Nike calls, you just made a bucket of money. Oh my God. So, I do my momentum list. Noteworthy occurrence on Friday, iHeartRadio hit their fifth day in a row. That company, IHRT, is just on an epic bull run.
I didn't know they were public.
They went public last July.
Okay.
So, they've been around for a year. They opened up like 17-something when they IPO'd. They dropped down below 10 during the pandemic. And, yeah, ever since the fall, they've gone from under 10 to now they're at 27.36. They're just on an epic run and all-time high, so we don't know when that's going to end. They didn't hit new highs on Friday. They had a 2% pullback. You know, boo-hoo. But it just when I pulled up the chart, it was another just like Sprout Social where it was like, how can this keep going up? There has to be a pullback sometime.
Well, now you know the patterns to watch for.
Right. So I will be watching for a good pullback to play on iHeartMedia. We ended the week with no big runs. I think four was the biggest. RVLV, Revolve Group, their consumer discretionary, they do internet stuff. They had 4 days in a row. Target's back on the list 2 days in a row.
Mm.
So they're continuing their shit. They show up on the list every couple weeks. So they're in a long-term run of good solid momentum.
Mm-hmm.
eBay of course showed up again Friday because now that it wasn't my bet pick, it
of course
started its run again.
Yep.
You know, I feel like that's part of my curse. It's like I call them at the wrong time.
Well, that's why swing trading is so much better. You can give yourself enough time to catch those moves.
Exactly. If I'd bought the calls with some time.
I'm looking at iHeart right now. Did you see the amount of volume that came in on that sell-off today, Friday?
No, I was looking at it Thursday.
It was like six times the average.
Okay, well, maybe iHeart is about to turn around. Maybe then it's time to buy some puts.
Oof, that was a lot of volume that came in. A lot of volume that didn't really move it that much either.
Yeah, so it's a big fight, big battle going on.
Yeah.
Between buyers and sellers in iHeart.
That was Gettysburg.
Yeah, right. Well, and think about the situation for a second. You've got a company that's at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been higher. People that bought down around 10, they just saw a huge return. They see mm-hmm. huge returns. So they're thinking, I'll make all this money and sell now. And who are they selling it to? People going, wow, iHeart can't be stopped. It's an all-time high. Who knows how high it goes? I'll buy some shares.
And it's dipping right now. I buy that dip. No, I think that's gonna start dropping here.
Okay, well, we'll find out. That's yep. That's the end of the list. So I think maybe it's time to talk about some crypto.
Let's do it.
I think it's time to talk about the cult of crypto.
You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin has pulled back. When I checked this morning, it was like around 31,000.
It's been holding that 31 as support, it looks like. It hasn't really been dropping below that yet.
And it makes for a nice bull trend line when you look at their all-time chart.
Oh yeah,
5 year chart.
Okay,
not the 5 year, maybe the 3 year. Like AMC spiked up huge above the trend line and then like kind of came down.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, when I was looking at it, it does look like the support is at 31. And my thought was, Kyle should buy a Bitcoin, just fucking hold it.
No, I still scared of Bitcoin, especially with what's going on in China.
Yeah.
At China banning everything. I actually saw this. I'll link the story for this one. But Miami's trying to lure China's Bitcoin miners and trying to get them over. And I've been seeing a lot more stories pop up about all the people who used to mine in China, like trying to figure out where they can go to keep doing.
Keep their mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, come emigrate to the United States so you can be a Bitcoin miner here. We've got freedoms.
Right.
Did you hear about the Elon Musk Jack Dorsey setting up to do like a Bitcoin conference?
No, I wasn't. No, that's interesting.
Yeah, so on Friday, they at least agreed publicly over Twitter to discuss the outlook of the world's number one cryptocurrency, to discuss Bitcoin at an event next month. And then, like, Kathy Wood retweeted it and called it brilliant.
Nice.
So they're setting up a conference called The B Word. It's like an educational initiative kind of thing to spread adoption and promote awareness of Bitcoin and crypto assets in generally.
I saw Elon respond to that because I saw something about the B Word. And I saw his response was bisexual with a question mark.
Oh.
So I guess that makes a little more sense now. Or not really.
We'll see what happens.
Raises more questions than answers.
Kathy Wood has been predicting Bitcoin will eventually hit 500,000 a coin. So.
Yeah, she's called Tesla at 2,000 and nailed it.
So I will be anxious to see what happens at that conference and what they're able, how well they're able to sway any public opinion to being pro cryptocurrency. I imagine down in South America, they'll be more receptive to the B Word event. Following in wake of El Salvador making Bitcoin legal tender, Paraguay is making moves to start regulating cryptocurrencies. The initial stories were Paraguay is following suit to make Bitcoin legal tender, but what they're doing is they're trying to set up regulations in the country just to handle cryptocurrencies in general. They're not going to make it currency down there.
That sounds tricky.
They want to be crypto friendly is basically.
By regulating it.
Yeah. Especially with their neighbors having it as legal tender, then they're going to have to convert a lot when people from El Salvador want to do business in Paraguay. They're going to be like, well, here's this Bitcoin. So they need to get regulations set up now to deal with all the transactions in the future.
We know how much Bitcoin loves regulation, though.
Yes, yes. Oh, Bitcoin loves regulation. That's why they designed it. They said, we need a better regulated currency.
Yes.
No. That's the opposite. Well, I'm excited because we have yet to see, like, this is all new ground. Like, cryptocurrency is legal tender. Like, oh, we're gonna have to set up a regulation system to deal with that. We can kind of look at South America is almost like the test lab, right?
Right.
If they manage to set things up in a manner that is good for crypto and good for the people, like, other places will follow suit.
It makes sense.
And that's all I prepared on crypto.
That's plenty. This is getting a little long. I think it's time to wrap things up.
All right. So, time to slap iron, motherfucker?
I think so.
I gotta say, the thing that made me feel most good this week was putting my lotto ticket budget into my portfolio.
I like that.
Small dollar amount, but psychologically it was a really big move.
Well, it sounds like a shift in thought process, where you're finding better value in the markets and your abilities rather than the luck of the state.
the luck of the draw.
Yeah, my good was doing well enough on my monthly plan that I was able to start moving ahead to the next month.
Yes.
And getting a head start on that. More time, more premium.
Yes.
What was your bad?
My bad was jumping in on the Lordstown, the RIDE puts.
Well, you did that to help our Discord users out.
Yes, yes, exactly. So my curse That's okay. would... lift yeah. someone else's. No, I made it. It's a fundamentals play. Like, I'm just convinced, like, the news pattern is bad.
Yeah.
But it was bad because I didn't enter the trade using my knowledge. I just dove in, and that was bad.
Oh, okay.
I didn't try and time it. I didn't.
You didn't do any chart research or anything?
Well, I glanced at the chart for, you know, like, 2 minutes.
That's not nearly enough time to draw your levels and look at the volume profiles and everything else you're supposed to do.
I didn't, yeah, exactly. I didn't do all the things I was supposed to do. I eyeballed it, and I'm a fucking rookie. I don't have eyeball skills like that. Yeah, right. I can't, yeah, right? It takes me longer than 2 minutes to do it right. So, I let my emotional, this company's going into the dust.
Right.
Opinion push the trade more than any knowledge or strategy. What was your bad?
My bad was my Norwegian Cruise Line puts. And the reason why I'm considering this one bad is that the trend broke already. It broke on like Thursday, and I'm still in it.
Oh.
And that's a problem, because that should have been my key to get out.
Yeah.
So why am I still holding at this point? That's not good. That's not preserving capital. That's not managing risk. All the reasons for why I got in have now changed. I should be exiting that position and looking for something new.
Yeah.
So I'll be trying to fix that Monday, I think. What was your ugly?
You know, I'm having a hard time thinking of something I did that was ugly this week.
You want some of mine?
Right. Well, I guess you could say, I'll say, it felt ugly to follow those Nike puts and lose so big.
Yeah. How much of that was, I mean, I did do some research, but it was a lot of it was trust in Vico.
Yeah, I just dove in and was like, oh, if Vico's doing it, I'll follow him. That guy's got a good track record.
No more of that. Nope. We need to at least verify what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit, but I've learned so much more since then that it's every time you make a trade, it feels like, fuck, I should have waited until this lesson was done.
And then I finished all the lessons, and they've got the modules, and then I'm like, oh, I know, I gotta watch all the modules first.
Yep.
And then I'm immediately like, I want to take he's teaching in the foundations the buy the dip strategy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to take this and start swing trading options. It's like, wait, Dan, slow the fuck down. Go watch the options courses.
You want to apply it, but you also don't want to be jumping ahead. And that leads right into my ugly.
Yeah.
Trying to apply something that wasn't even designed for it. You know, I've learned so far is swing trade, long-term investing, like picking your entry points and knowing when to get out of something, looking at dailies and weekly charts, not 5-minute, 15-minute charts.
Right.
And trying to use those same things to try to make, you know, 5-minute trades. It's not working out so well. But the good of that is that it finally sunk in.
Yes. Yes.
What's funny too is as I lost that money on that first space trade, and I'm thinking to myself, like, fuck, I really don't want to share this.
This is embarrassing.
It really was. Oh, and everything that came after that was embarrassing. It's like, okay, I just need to walk away.
Well, at least we have this show to keep us accountable.
Right? Yeah, the minute I start lying to the show, that's when I'm done.
Right? All right.
Holy shit, there's a deer walking across my driveway.
Oh, shit. That's insane.
Fucking weird. Is that a sign to end?
I think that's a sign we got to make a new bet.
All right. Stocks. In the center of a universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread. Loser goes first.
Okay. I'm in a pickle, Kyle.
Yeah.
I'm in a pickle because I have to make a big swing. You know that, right? I have to swing for the fences.
I know.
Because I don't want your consequences.
They're good ones, too.
And AMC broke its long-term trend line this week.
Uh-oh.
I don't think it's like a sure thing. Like, if I bet on AMC, I don't think it's going to make a big... I don't think it's going to make a big move up.
Oh, no, not at all.
But I'm also terrified of shorting AMC.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
I feel like if I did that, it would make a big move up. So I'm going to bet on eBay again.
You are?
Yeah.
I like it.
It just showed back up on the list on Friday. It's at all-time highs. I think the consolidation at the top just ended. Go on eBay. I think we're going to see a nice good bull run this week, and hopefully you make a blunder.
Can you guess what I'm picking?
Virgin Galactic?
No, absolutely not.
No. What are you picking?
No, I'm going with I'm going with Ford.
Going Ford. Yeah.
I'm going Ford. I like the way it broke out of that channel. I think it's got, I think it could run another $5 from where it's sitting now. It could run up to 20. I'm also putting a stop loss at $15 on it, which is really conservative right now, but it just broke out of that channel. And if it falls below 15, I don't think that it's confirming that up move.
You do market sell.
So yeah, if it drops below 15, I'm out of it. So if it gets to the point where a 15% stop loss is better than a $15 stop loss, I'll take that. But initially, $15 stop loss. And we need a random.
Oh, fuck that random.
Random's...
If random picks AMC, I'm going to cry.
No. Random picked an interesting one. Groupon. GRPN. That one gapped up pretty nice in March. That must have been earnings. Consolidating now. That's an interesting one. I don't think it has the chance to double, but it's definitely on the uptrend.
It is on an uptrend. Had a big, big volume boost on that red candle on Friday, though. We'll see.
GRPN. Groupon it is. I'll have to remember this stock selector page, because this one's much better.
I don't think random is a threat this month.
No.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. I've got eBay, Kyle has Ford, and random has Groupon. We'll be back at you next week, letting you know how those did. Oh, God, and we're going to have a new winner. We'll let you know on the...
Come on forward.
Come on forward. All right, yeah, so stay tuned for all that great shit, for all that great stuff. Oh, I'm not tired at all. Folks, thanks for sticking around. Oh, my God. I promise in the editing room, when this hits your ears, it won't be as long as it took us to record it. I guess it's more of a promise to you, Kyle, than to the listeners. Yeah. I promise, listeners, I put effort and work into editing this podcast.
Yeah, they're a lot less tedious after they come out. This is the final product.
Yeah, yeah. So thanks for sticking around this long. We love you. We love that you're here. As always, if you like our show, let us know. And there's a million different ways to do it, but the best one is to tell your friends and
join the Discord.
Join the Discord. We love the shop's growing so much, and we love you all. It's a big shop. There's room for everybody, and we will be back at you soon. Until then, happy trades.
Bye, folks. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.